Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ram fans, this is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Mark from Rams Up here. A recap of day two of the 2024 Rams draft. And this is going down pretty much how we expect it, with a couple of twists. First round yesterday, they come out and get one of the top edge rushers, a big edge rusher that can hold up against the run and get to the quarterback. Hard worker, team leader. In the second round, they trade up to the 39th pick and grab Braden Fisk, one of the top, probably the most athletic defensive tackle in the draft, a guy that really stood out at the Senior Bowl. That's a trend that has been going on for a few years with our Rams. They love the Senior Bowl standouts. And then they come back and draft two positions that we fully expected them to draft, maybe not this early, running back and then safety, two picks in the third round. And, you know, they had to go safety at some point, and they went and got Cameron Kitchens. And before that, they drafted a running back, Blake Corum, who has a lot of similarities to Kyren Williams. So all in all, a really good day for the Rams. There's a downside, two downsides to this draft. They had to give up a second round pick next year to jump up and get Braden Fisk. Just goes to show you the Rams are a player this year. They are a Super Bowl contender and they realize it, and they're not worried so much about next year. We'll figure that out, is what Les Snead is probably thinking. Let's add some players that are going to help this squad right now. Hey, let's go through these picks one at a time. By the way, we may have some people joining, may not. It's late on a Friday night, that is. If someone joins midstream here, we'll pop them in and get their opinions. So Braden Fisk out of Florida State, he's a guy that we talked about. We actually were probably, as a roundtable group, and Paul Walia chiming in several times, probably preferred Chris Jenkins, but can't be disappointed with Braden Fisk. They gave up that 52nd pick, and tomorrow, the fifth round pick, 155th overall, and then next year, second. 6'4", 295, senior bowl stud, as we said, best athlete at his position, and he's got an arsenal of moves and a nonstop motor. Hey, now I got a couple people joining. Let me pull them in. There's Scott and Tom. What's going on, guys? I started without you. I didn't know who was going to be joining, and I provided a little bit of a entry here, an overview of this draft. Kind of my feeling on this draft is, it kind of went down how we expected, with the exception that safety and running back maybe came a little bit earlier than we expected. How do you feel about this Blake Corum pick in the third round, Scott?
Oh, it kind of surprised me, the player, not necessarily the position. I think I picked Jalen Wright at this particular spot.
Right. I know you're a big fan of Wright.
So. Yeah. So, I was right with the position, but wrong with the player. So,
but watching the film and the reviews on him, it does have a lot of similarities to Kyren, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, they talked about his jump cut. He's similar in size, a little bit shorter.
Yeah. Yes, he is. That's why I was surprised that they went with a back that's so similar and somebody that didn't really contrast with more speed or.
Yeah,
more big playability. So
maybe they're thinking they want a guy that they can plug in if Kyren gets banged up a little bit. How did you feel about the Blake Corum pick, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising. I mean, I like the kid a lot, but, you know, I don't know if this was the right pick to take him. But, you know, it's going to be nice to have him on the team. I mean, we just got to make sure we fill in some of these other gaps that we need. Yeah. Safety is a big need. So, but you know, I like the kid. I like his profile. I like his makeup. I'm glad to have him, but you know, I would have rather had him. I mean, they don't have a fourth round pick, so they're not going to, you know, Corum's not going to last till the fifth. So I don't know. It's nice to have, but I wouldn't have been my first choice.
Yeah, it's kind of a luxury, but I kind of got out of sequence here. Let me go back to this second round pick. We gave up a little bit to go get Braden Fisk. And as I started out before you guys joined explaining, I think, you know, Paul, Ian, and you, and I'm not sure about Scott, but we thought the ideal situation was edge followed by defensive tackle. It just made the most sense based on the depth at defensive tackle as opposed to edge. But Braden Fisk is not a guy we really talked a whole lot about. I know we recognize that he was going to be a really good football player and probably going to be gone in the second round. But we are more focused on Chris Jenkins and a couple other guys. But you can't be disappointed with Braden Fisk selection, right? That's for either one of you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, no, I mean, Fisk, I like him. I mean, he was, you know, he's in that pool of players, the player pod, whatever you want to call it, of those guys that were, you know, those second round defensive linemen. And there started to be a run on the defensive linemen. And what was it with Warren? And
yeah, Rook went.
Yeah. Yeah. And then who went? I can't think of it.
Michael Hall went a little bit later, I think.
Yeah, no, Hall went later, but anyway, yeah, some guys started to go, and so they had to jump up and get him, right? I mean, if otherwise they were going to miss out on this, you know, this kind of segment of players in that top of the second, and right. Who's the guy that dropped that Newton. Fell really hard that went, you know, Newton went. And then another guy went right after him, who's the guy that had some character issues that kind of dropped off the board, dropped down the board. I forgot who it is. Anyway, I'll think of it. But anyway, the point is they moved up to get, you know, a guy in this pool of players. And you know, he's a solid guy. It's just, it's interesting that so many similarities in terms of profile to Verse. Obviously the obvious being, you know, the school that they're at, but they're both transfers. Verse from Albany and Fisk from Western Michigan or Western, where was he? Where he transferred from?
I don't recall it. One of the Michigan schools, yes.
Western Michigan, I think, and or Western, yeah, something like that. And anyway, he, they both also played different positions in, you know, prior to landing in these positions. So Verse was like a tight end, I think.
Right.
And then he switched over, and Fisk, I think, was an offensive tackle for most, you know, a lot of his career, and didn't get really recruited. And I mean, it's just the similarities are uncanny. And so these are kind of both late bloomers. They're both older guys, you know, 23, 24. You know, I know a lot of the players are kind of, you know, fit that profile to some degree because of the extra COVID year and so forth and the NIL money. But they're both older guys. And it's just, you know, these profiles, these guys, the Rams go for, or, you know, sort of these, you know, these Senior Bowl guys. Oh, yeah. Fisk was also a Senior Bowl, most valuable defensive player, I think, at the Senior Bowl or something. So, or, you know, defensive lineman or something like that on his team. So these guys are just, it's a very similar profiles. And it's just guys that the Rams like. They like maturity. They like these, you know, seniors. They like these guys that are hungry, that have a little bit of a weird background, that always haven't been blue chippers their whole career. It's just really interesting to me that this is kind of the makeup that they somehow see as translating to success in the NFL.
Well, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing. When I see some of these guys interviewed and celebrating and such, you see one vein of that occurring, and then you see what I liked, like I was telling my friend, Jared Verse and Braden Fisk, you know, they strike me as grown-ass men, you know, compared to some of these other guys. And maybe that's those extra 2 years of maturity. You know, they're ready to get it on in the NFL, and it's a business, and they're going to work hard, and they've had to work hard to get where they are. And so I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but
it's not a bad thing. It's just an interesting profile and that they have identified. And it's kind of like these guys that are still have, you know, like Verse said, he still has a chip on his shoulder. They're hungry to prove something. They're just, you know, they don't draft a lot of blue chip guys that, you know, feel entitled like to be there. And that's just not their, you know, their shtick. And maybe that's why they traded out of the first round so often. It's like, you don't want those first round guys that just feel like, oh, I've already made it by being drafted in the first round, and I don't have to do anything. I'm just, you know, you're lucky to have me. I'm not lucky to have you.
I'm not going to throw shade on any particular players, but I saw a couple of players, draft prospects, celebrating. And I just got this vibe that is like, compared to Verse and Fisk, I just don't think they're the type of guys the Rams want in their locker room to some degree. And maybe I'm overstating it, but I definitely agree there is a certain type of maturity and character that they expect, that they're going to invest a lot of money in these guys, and that's what they're going to roll with. So, Scott, how do you feel about Fisk as compared to, you know, there are some other defensive tackles on the board they could have went with. It wasn't like they were all gone. I think Newton and Rook were gone, and obviously Byron Murphy. But how do you feel about the Fisk pick overall?
Overall, I'm pretty happy with it. He wasn't one of my favorite players going in, though I knew he's the type of penetrating tackle that the Rams are used to using. Turner's a penetrating three-tech type, kind of like Aaron Donald. Fisk kind of brings that same thing, tries to beat you with his hustle and penetration through the gaps. He has short arms, though he's learned to work around that through hustle and technique. So, and then learning more today about how him and Jared work together. They would both be in the gym early working out, and then they would be the last ones to leave, watching film at night. And it's just like, wow, they're kind of like pushing against each other to see who's going to give, because it's a big competition between the two, but friendly. So for them to be together on the same defensive line, I think is awesome. And another thing that I don't think people realize is that those two, I think, were one of the two main anchors of their front seven of a defense that was the number one defense in college football last season. So,
yeah, and another,
I think that's a good deal.
Yeah, and I was wondering if they were, how close they were. And I have a friend who's a big Seminole fan, and I reached out to him trying to dig some information on that. I haven't heard back. And worth noting, another member of their defense, Renardo Green, went to the 49ers. He'll be playing safety for them.
God damn it.
That's a guy you wanted. Yeah, right. And Keon Coleman went to, is he with the Cardinals, is it? Or there was another Florida State guy in the NFC West. I forget who the fourth guy was. I don't think it was Coleman, someone. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I'm just not sure about, you know, it kind of sucks that we're giving up that second round pick next year. But the Rams must, you know, maybe it was part of that, Tom, like you said, the run on defensive tackles, and they just figured they had to go get one of their guys, and that's what they did. And they may need to draft another one. We'll talk about that in a second. So I kind of bounced around here. We talked a little bit about Corum, and the one thing that struck me is, you know, they are talking about his jump cut, you know, and I didn't look into Blake Corum a lot because, as I say on this little slide here, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, I've said over and over again, draft a running back every year, and the Rams pretty much do. And I just didn't think it would be this early. But you start, so I wasn't really looking at Corum because I didn't think he's going to be in that window where the Rams would draft a running back. But as I look at him, man, I mean, he gets into the end zone, high character guy, just like the other two, and has a running style I think that's pretty similar to Kyren. Have you looked into Blake Corum at all, Tom? What do you know about him? What can you share with us? You there, Tom?
Oh, can you hear me? Yeah, I'm
now
sorry.
We can.
Yeah, he, obviously he's a pretty, you know, high profile guy from that Michigan team. I mean, this is a guy who did come up through a prominent program in high school, and then had a lot of recruiting offers, and but just, you know, one of, you know, he's kind of a smaller guy, right? Obviously he's under 5'8", and he's just, you know, sort of a workout fiend. He had a bad injury last year. Otherwise he probably would have come out in the draft last year, or maybe the year before. And I mean, he's a touchdown machine. And I think, you know, in our text string, Mark, you noted it, that, you know, this is probably the guy that Les Snead was talking about when he said it's important to draft people that score touchdowns. I mean, I think Corum, they said something like he scored a touchdown in every game for the last 2 years, except for the Ohio State game, which he only played like four snaps or something. So, he's definitely a touchdown machine. He has a nose for the end zone.
Yeah, my question is he going to, how much of the field is he going to see if Kyren stays healthy? You know, they got Ronnie Rivers. That's why I thought running back might come later. Are they just, is this just insurance? Because if something happens to Kyren, they need a really productive running back, or, you know, I can't imagine they're drafting him, you know, they got to give him some snaps, some rotations, mm-hmm. and, you know, give him a couple of series a game, I would think. Hopefully that's what we see. And keep Kyren fresh, because he was getting banged up by the end of the year.
Yeah, he definitely was. And I mean, Blake Corum, is there a better guy to execute this new kickoff return situation. I mean, he's gonna, I think he could lead the league in kickoff returns this year. That is an ideal profile for this guy. I mean, you wouldn't draft a guy in the third round for that, but you know, how many kickoffs did the Rams return? Does any team return a game? Five, you know, on average, something like that. You know, it could make a pretty big difference. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I know, Scott. I know you wanted Jalen Wright really bad, and he was there for the taking. So you have to be a little disappointed. But I think Blake Corum is a solid pick. I mean, if you're going to go running back at this point, it's not a bad pick.
Not bad. I think after watching a little bit of tape this last hour or so, one of the things that I liked, one of the ideas of drafting Jalen Wright was because the Rams' blocking scheme has been so good this past season, with the running back getting 4 to 5 yards before contract, you would think that we should have more big plays with the running back getting into the second level. But with Michigan's offensive line so good, you can see Blake getting to the second level and making those cuts left or right, and to the point where it's like the defender isn't even in range to tackle him and he's getting by him. So it's like, okay, I think I understand why. I'm starting to understand why they drafted him. If they keep blocking the way they do, the Rams offense, he's going to have those opportunities to get to the second level and jump cut or just cut left or right and get some bigger plays.
And 5'8", 205, the running back like that, and Kyren, I think Kyren's 5'9", 196, something like that. You can't see these guys behind Steve Avila, Kevin Dotson, Jonah Jackson. That's a really big advantage to have these smaller backs. And they're not light. You know, they're just a little shorter, I think, than your average NFL running back.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
They also, just to add to that, Michigan really is, you know, runs the scheme. Who's that offensive coordinator slash assistant head coach that took over for Harbaugh when he got suspended? Sherrod Brown, is it? Or
it sounds right.
Is that his name? And anyway, he runs the same scheme that McVay has really adopted. It's kind of a hybrid gap zone combination. And so I think that probably had a lot to do with this, right? That you get a running back who's excels and has instincts in the very scheme that you're running. That's probably a pretty important consideration.
Yeah. And man, this guy's a touchdown maker, 27 rushing TDs last season. Incredible. So the next pick late in the third round, and we had talked about Cameron Kitchens, the safety from Miami, pairing up with the other Cameron. So we got two Camerons potentially starting in the secondary for us. And this is guy. Did we mock him in our last mock draft, our roundtable mock? I think we did.
Absolutely, we did.
Yeah, we did. So we got that one right. I don't know if it was this early. It might have been. It was. We didn't do any trading, so it was either right about at this spot or early in the fifth. It must have been this spot. And again, I think we're going safety. I'm pretty sure we're going to go safety at some point. This is the earliest the Rams have picked a safety, I think, since Taylor Rapp. But Kitchens, 5'11", 203 pounds, 11 interceptions over the last 2 years. I believe that's the most in college football. I think they see him as more of a center fielder, which is what they need. And the draft profiles I did read, a recurring theme was there are some concerns about his speed. If he gets matched up against some speed receivers, he could be in trouble. But I guess the Rams were able to see through that and still think he could be a big contributor on this defense. How do you feel about this pick, Scott? I thought they might go with Hicks, the other safety, or perhaps, Sione Vaki, a guy like, but Sione Vaki isn't a real center fielder type. But he's a center fielder, right? It's kind of what we need it.
I think that's his true skill set. I think he's good at playing high, reading the play. He has great anticipation skills. That kind of helps make up for his 4.65 speed. I mean, I wouldn't call him a rangy safety because he's not going to be able to play center field and get to either sideline on a goal route. He doesn't have that kind of speed, but good anticipation. I think he knows how to read routes and break on the ball quickly. And he's good at breaking down and coming downhill and tackling ball carriers coming across the line of scrimmage. So I think he's more of a heady player than he is physically. He didn't really have really good RAS test scores at the combine. They're all below average, but I think they're drafting him for what he is, above the shoulders, as opposed to a gifted athlete.
Yeah, I mean, Puka had horrible scores too, right? I think the Rams probably pay less attention to that than almost any other NFL team. And so, Tom, I'm not sure who made this pick for us the other day when we did our last roundtable, but we all came together and selected him. So I have to think that you're okay with this pick.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we were just drafting for need, and we obviously went from edge to defensive line safety, and we all agreed on him. We actually did mock him at number 99.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Yeah. So pretty good mock. And he's just kind of what Scott was saying. Just a really good center fielder and, an eye for the ball got some INTs, something we've been sorely missing. We definitely needed this position. Rush East is not going to fit the bill for us. He did not play well for us. And we got our two Camerons. Cam and Cam at safety. So
is that going to cause, I'm being somewhat facetious here, but could that be a cause for some blown assignments? No, I thought you meant the other Cameron.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll definitely give him an out if something goes bad. Yeah.
Yeah, K1 and K2, maybe. Yeah. I'll leave that to Paul. Paul will come up with those names. But yeah, that crossed my mind immediately. It's like, you got to reduce the confusion, omit the confusion here. But being a little bit silly, probably, I don't think it'll be a real problem. So let's see. So this is, I made this up the other night. And, you know, take the order, take it or leave it. But I think the top of this is fairly accurate, at least in my opinion. And, you know, I added running back just today because I wanted to put an extra check mark for drafting a running back. I didn't really see that as a big need. I think you just draft a running back every year. So I think what's left here, and in a lot of our drafts, now the Rams don't have the problem is the Rams don't have another pick until 154. They gave up 155. Remember, they went in originally they were going to have one back-to-back 154, 155. They gave up the 155 along with the other two picks to move up and get Braden Fisk. So they still don't have a fourth-round pick. And, you know, we originally projected them drafting another defensive lineman, perhaps. I don't know if that's the case. I still think they need to find some interior offensive line depth. I don't have tackle on here. A lot of people would probably curse me for leaving off tackle. But, yeah, okay, maybe we need a tackle. You know, we need a little bit of everything. You always need an extra wide receiver. Our linebacker core is not that great after Ernest Jones. We have, you know, Davis Allen, Colby Parkinson, and two injured tight ends, and we don't have a kicker. So where do you think our focus will be if we have to wait till 154? I mean, I don't know. That's going to be pretty painful watching that many more players come off the board before we make another selection. What do you think the Rams are going to do tomorrow, Tom? You think they're going to make a move to get up into the fourth? I don't know how they can.
I mean, it's pretty easy. They got how many more picks do they have? They have five more picks.
They have. I think they have more than that. I think they still have a total of 10.
10 total.
They had 11. They gave up one next year and one this year. Sacrificed one this year. So they sacrificed two this year and one next year and got one back. So they have a net loss of one pick this year. And I thought they were going to get into the fourth round by trading back. It can still be done, but it's a little more pricey. I mean, you have to package a fifth and 2 sixths or something. Do you know what the values? I haven't looked at the value chart to get back into the fourth with, you know, fifth and sixth round.
It would take a
pick
from next year to do that. The value was so low. It's not enough to get you into the fourth round.
Yeah. So I don't know if they will. I think that I think that yesterday and today they got what they needed, you know, the edge, the D line, and the safety. And obviously they like the running back. I feel like everything from here on out is just going to be, you know, a lot of filler stuff. I think we'll get some offensive line stuff. I do think tackle is potentially even more important than the interior offensive line. They'll probably pull a wide receiver, a linebacker, maybe a tight end. I don't know if they'll draft a kicker or not, but I just feel like they'll do, you know, their normal, and they're very used to drafting at the end of the draft on day three.
Yeah.
I would posit to say that they're probably have more picks on day three than any other team over the last 5 years. So,
maybe they'll try to move up into the back end of the fifth round with a couple of sixths and a seventh or something. And they still have, I think we had three of us on the round table were predicting they may move Tutu Atwell, although I don't know what they'd get back from him. What do you think the focus will be with that fifth round pick? Scott, dare to take a guess?
No, I think it could be. I think it could be a wide receiver. It could be a cornerback. It could be an offensive tackle. It could be another defensive lineman. It could be a designated pass rush specialist like Brennan Jackson, possibly from Washington State. I think there's four or five different positions it could be. So I was surprised you didn't have cornerback on your list.
Yeah, I just feel like we have. Yeah, I could really put every position on here that they could. You could always improve every position, but they actually have a lot of cornerbacks in the house now, and yeah, it's probably a mistake. I probably could put cornerback on there. It was interesting. I think it was ESPN. They listed cornerback as a need and not safety, and that was before the safety pick. So. I don't know. Some of these needs are all over the place. And then I see other they list the needs. It is virtually every position. And that's what I have here, but I left off cornerback and tackle. So, hey, I just threw this together at the last minute. And the thing about tackle, Tom, the reason I put interior offensive line, and we talked a little bit about this, is I feel like Noteboom and McClendon can both fill in at tackle. At least I think that's the plan, but I don't know who can fill in at center and guard. I mean, Noteboom can as well. You can move Avila around. I just feel like we're really vulnerable on that interior offensive line if someone goes down, but yeah, hey, that's fair just enough. My opinion. So what were you going to say? We were talking about that fifth round pick and you were going to chime in. Where do you think we're going to go with that? Do you have any idea? I mean, it's just guesswork at this point.
No, I'm with Scott. I mean, it just could be almost anything. Scott, the one thing about cornerback is that, like Mark said, we have so many of them on the roster. Are we going to cut, Kendrick or Tomlinson or Durant or, these guys are guys that are almost surely going to be on the 53, and they do all provide depth. They all have shown that they can play on some limited basis effectively. None of them have shown that they can really be full-time starters. Durant's the best one of the bunch. I do feel like they went heavy on the cornerbacks over the last couple of years. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why, they're not really focused on that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, I was just going to say, so that, from the cornerback perspective, but, probably similar wide receiver. Are they really going to find anything? I mean, they found obviously Puka in the fifth round. Maybe they have their eye on another fifth or sixth rounder for the wide receiver group. They'll, they love to load up on in the sixth and seventh, particularly actually just day three in general at linebacker and safety and backup linemen. So that's just, running backs, all of these lower value players, position groups that they typically, just try and load up and hopefully get at least one hit out of, four, five, six players.
Yeah. And if they have six picks and they roll with six picks, you could see one of everything, interior offensive line, a tackle, a wide receiver, a linebacker, a tight end, and a cornerback. That's six. So there you go. They could hit everything. And I put together a list of, and I just went with the best available on, I think I use CBS Sports list. It's kind of my go-to list for better or worse. And I left off running backs. I left off safeties. I think I left edge off here as well for the most part, although a lot of people are going to say, let's go edge. But there's a bunch of guys, a lot of these guys we've talked about. I'm not sure who's going to be available at 154, but there's just a good list for you. I didn't put cornerback as a need here, but I think I have about seven cornerbacks on this list of 20 players. So there you go. Chris Abram drains. DJ James, Kyrie Jackson, Paul Wally, I loved him. Dwayne McLaughlin, did you draft him for us in your mock, Scott? I think you talked about him. Someone did.
Yes.
Yeah. Miles Harden, Nehemiah Pritchett, we've talked about him a couple of times. And I think Cha Smith-Wade is one of Paul's Puka Power picks, if I'm not mistaken. And then there's some wide receivers. Troy Franklin is still there. And I think Paul really thought that was going to be the Rams selection there at 99. And then Aeneas Smith, Johnny Wilson is that big receiver. I think he's like 6'7" or something like that. Mm-hmm. So there are some options there in the interior offensive lineman, Bo Limmer. And would they dare draft Spencer Rattler? He'll probably be gone by 154, I would think. So there's some good players here. Offensive tackle, Christian Jones. I left out on the cornerbacks, TJ Tampa. So the problem is, you know, who's going to be there and how many more picks till we get to 154? It's that's a long haul. So who knows? And is there anybody I left off here, Scott, that you have at the top of your list that might be there at 154? Kind of putting you on the spot on a.
Yeah, I really haven't looked at any lists today, so I can't really think of somebody off the top of my head. McLaughlin is one of my guys, so I notice him right away. Leonard Taylor from Miami, I think would be another great rotational defensive player.
Yeah, there's still some really good defensive linemen out there. Yeah, Gabe Hall and some of those guys are still there. I think the LSU defensive tackle, Jefferson. So there's, if they do decide to go a second defensive lineman, which they very well could, really deep draft, there's still some good guys there. Mm-hmm. But, hey, good stuff. I don't know much if there's much more we can talk about other than just getting ready for this round four. We're going to have to sit through round four and just hope we see the Rams logo flash up there indicating they made a trade, but I don't expect that to happen, having already given up a second-round pick next year. That's painful enough. So, so overall, what grade would you give the Rams? And I know grades are silly, and I'm usually pretty generous when it comes to the Rams. So someone gave the Rams, one of the guys gave, I think it was Chris Treposo. He gave the Rams a C- for the Fisk pick, but his justification for that was because they gave up the second rounder. And I don't know if that's fair, you know, grade the pick for, you know, where you're making the pick. Is he a good fit? Is he a quality player? And I'd probably give Verse, you know, I guess I'd have to give him an A. Fisk, I'd probably give an A as well. Corum, probably a B, because I just think you can get a running back later. I just don't see it as a big need. And Kitchens, I think I'd have to give that maybe an A-. He's obviously a need and a good player, but again, kind of like running back, Rams have been able to find safeties later in the draft. I'll give you a run at it, Scott, first. Do you want to give some grades? Or if you don't want to, I completely understand, because it's, I don't know how useful it is, but it's kind of fun.
The first two, I'd have to say as a tandem, I'd go with an A. I'd give the running back Corum probably a C, and I'd give Kitchens a B.
Okay, fair enough. You want to throw some grades out there, Tom?
Yeah, I'm with Scott. I'll give our absolute needs. If we had not gotten an edge, a really solid edge and a defensive lineman, an interior defensive lineman, this would have been, you know, this whole conversation would not have been this casual. It would have been much more stressed. It would have been a lot more, you know, it would have been a whole different conversation, right? So right. You got to give that an A, and you got to give them an A for effort and moving up to get a really good one. And, you know, Aaron Donald just retired, you know, newsflash to everybody. So there is a need to solidify that defensive line, and, you know, a second pick next year be damned. And so I'm all in for what they did. And, you know, they picked the guy that they thought was the right guy at the time, which is, you know, and it feels like he's a solid player. And, you know, we talked about his makeup and whatnot. So I'll give those guys an A. Corum, it's kind of a B-, you know, I'm kind of with Scott. I don't see it as much. I think it'll be nice to have in the season, as long as we can fill these other gaps. Kitchen, I liked a lot. At the end of the third, I think that was really good. So I'm going to give that an A since we mocked it, and I think I made the pick. So yeah. If I don't give it an A, I'm going to look pretty silly. But yeah, no, I really like him. I mean, he's a ball hawk safety. We talked about this on the mock. how much the Rams need safeties, a safety that can actually ball hawk, right? I mean, how many interceptions have our safeties had over the last three, 4 years? I mean, a handful at the most, right? And, you know, probably the fewest in the league. I can't imagine any safety, starting safety crew has had fewer interceptions than the Rams. So it's really a big need. And at, you know, some point you say, oh, it's okay. You know, they play deep and they're just keep playing contain and, you know, the cover two and the, you know, the whole nine yards, but it makes a difference. Those are impact plays. Those are really big plays when, you know, turnovers are really important. And when you're giving up a turnover a deficit to other teams in your secondary because your defensive backs aren't intercepting the ball and other teams are, it does make a difference. So I love Kitchens, and I think it's a great, I'm glad he was there. I think it's a great value at 99.
Yeah. And it actually has a domino effect. You know, if we can cross our fingers that he is the answer at safety, you know, think of all the things it does for this defense. You know, Russ East becomes a backup piece that could be valuable. Quentin Lake remains at the star position. We just added two free agents, you know, a safety and a cornerback, and we have we added two safeties. I mean, I'm sorry, two cornerbacks, White and Williams, and the safety, and then we have the two young guys, Kendricks and Durant, plus Tomlinson backing them up. Our secondary is kind of squared away. You know, I mean, we have to hope White stays healthy. And maybe that's why we should draft another cornerback just in case, but we're not too many solid. Pardon?
I said, you don't have a lot of length of contract back there. The White is just 1 year.
Yeah.
I think Williams is two seasons.
Yeah. Fair point. Fair point.
Option to walk out. So yeah. So they really don't have anybody in the cornerback room other than, what Kendricks and Durant.
Kendrick Tomlinson, Durant. Yeah.
They're on 4 year deals. So,
I mean, I feel like, you know, you kind of play it year by year. Those guys, none of those guys, I mean, Kendrick, I could take or leave. Tomlinson hasn't shown anything. Durant is, you know, has some severe limitations. And these are all small guys, and Kendrick's slow. And so, you know, it's nice. Those are nice depth guys, but we're certainly not going to rely on them going forward. And the Rams are definitely going to have to address the secondary again next year.
I mean,
but this is all about this year, right? I mean, this is obviously there's now talk about Stafford not having any guaranteed money after this year. And I do feel like they were pushing their chips all in this year. And I think everybody thought this was going to be Donald's last year. I mean, he walked away from his last year of guaranteed money. And you know, I do feel like they are really pushing things in this year. This, you know, Cooper Kupp, if he comes back this year and he's healthy, it'll be a godsend. And so, you know, this, I really do feel like this is kind of a push your chips in year, and it's not an all or nothing year for sure. There's a lot of youth on this team, you know, certainly on this defensive side of the ball, but on that in that secondary and on the offensive side of the ball, you know, there's a lot of, look at our wide receiver room. I mean, a lot of expiring stuff going on there. So it's
Well, be a lot of turnover. Is Stafford's request for more guaranteed money, is this an opportunity? Last year, my understanding is he turned down the Rams' request to restructure. Is this an opportunity to restructure and open up some money for another free agent or two? Or you're the contracts guy.
I mean, it's possible to do that. You know, I think certainly if they give him more, he wants more money. He wants money guaranteed into the next couple of years, which is a good sign, right? It means that he doesn't want to retire. He feels like he's he feels like he's ready to go for another, at least another year after this one. And So, you know, I think it's great. And, you know, from the Viking, he's on the Falcons quarterback.
Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, Cousins. Yeah, he and Cousins are the, they're the first team all-pro Hall of Famers at maximizing contracts. These two guys have made more money, you know, than anyone. And Stafford's definitely not a fool when it comes to that kind of stuff. So, he knows what he's doing. So, but if he wants to play another year after this one, then great. You know, let's give him his money. I mean, it's not like he's breaking the bank on top quarterback. He's not, you know, top dollar quarterback pay. So, if he wants to make $50 million, that's, you know, probably the 10th highest paid quarterback in the league or something. So, let's give it to him. You know, the guy's still, you know, I don't know. It's amazing how he the most underrated quarterback in the league right now? I mean,
yeah, he doesn't get a lot of respect.
How many quarterbacks would you rather have for one more year, for this year upcoming? How many guys would you say you can trade Stafford for a quarterback just for one year, not taking into consideration their age or their longevity or anything else? I mean, what other quarterback would you rather have? Would you rather have Burrow than Stafford?
No.
Would you rather have who would you rather have?
I mean, there's maybe probably Mahomes. Maybe Josh Allen, maybe not. Just a couple guys. Yeah, I've been saying that for a couple of years.
There's not a lot of guys that you'd rather have for one year. Mm-hmm. Stafford's issue is he has been getting banged up. He might retire. Those kinds of things. But when the guy's healthy, I don't know if there's any. Maybe I'll take Mahomes, but that's about it. I'll take him over Josh Allen, just because. How about you, Scott?
I'm in the same boat. I think from the shoulders up, I don't think there's anybody better. As far as the arm too. I mean,
from the belt down. Just to get a little.
It was actually one of the more interesting things from the special on Stafford. I don't know if you caught this, him and Cooper Kupp were in the study room at like 6 a.m, whatever it was. And Carson Wentz walked in and he made a comment. It's like, I've never seen people do this before. This is early. And it was kind of striking to me that you think that what it tells me is not all the quarterbacks across the NFL are hitting the books at 6 a.m. like Matthew Stafford is. And that's another reason, you talk about, from the shoulders up, there you have it. He's studying constantly, trying to improve, and he's just the ultimate gunslinger at quarterback. You just gotta love him. To sum up what happened the last couple of days going into this, the Rams needed to improve their defensive line. They did. They needed to add an edge rusher. They did. They needed a safety to solidify that secondary. They did that. And then they grabbed a running back, kind of a luxury. So they're moving in the right direction. We'll see what they do in the next couple of days, tomorrow, over the next few rounds. But maybe they can plug a few more holes. And what I'd like to do is I'm going to do this again tomorrow. I don't know what time the draft ends tomorrow. And I'll shoot out another invite. If you guys want to jump on, fine. If you can't, totally understood. I think Paul's going to try to join. He was busy tonight. And go Rams. Hopefully we have six more picks potentially tomorrow. And Rams have everybody's going to be really excited about a fifth round pick by the Rams. That could a future all pro at 154. We can totally expect, right?
Look forward to it. Yes.
Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua. Who's the next great fifth round pick? Okay.
Warren McClendon.
Warren McClendon, yeah. Hey, we haven't seen him yet, but I think he right now he might be our number seven offensive lineman, so hopefully he can play.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, thanks for joining. I really appreciate it, taking time out on a busy Friday night. You guys can get back to partying or doing whatever you do on Friday nights, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, maybe.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, out here. That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at laramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.